Hello, everybody, and welcome to an exciting episode of Classical Pairings. I am your host, Nick Johnson. We are currently sitting at Helm Coffee with Jillian Potter, the owner, down here in Garford Park. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
And I'm sorry, I'm being chocolate. So, okay, people who listen to the show know that usually I start fairly on, and then we have cocktails, and by the end, I think I'm funnier.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the episode gets a little more loose as we go. This is the first time I've ever recorded in the morning. I am not a morning person. And so this episode, you're going to get to hear me slowly wake up. And so I hope that once we start sampling coffee,
it's like loose adjacent, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I always think that I bet the episode's so funny at the end. And then I go back and listen to it. And I'm like, I'm not as funny as I think I am when I'm sober. But this time, I'm hoping I listen to it. It's like, wow, I sound super awake. Okay, so anyway, tell us a little bit about Helm. How long have you been in this spot?
So Helm has been open for 7 months. We're going on 8.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. You've got like a garage. This used to be something else.
I see used to be a service garage.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually have a photo from the 1920s there.
Oh, wow.
Of
okay,
where it
cool.
used to be.
Okay. Yeah. And we're 2 blocks north of Garfield Park. Is that right?
Yes.
Roughly, give or take, just a little bit. Okay, fantastic. So 7 months. Okay.
Yeah, it's been fun.
How's it been going?
It's been great. Yeah, okay. I think the neighborhood is incredibly special. The people mm-hmm. that come through the doors and our repeat customers, they live in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they really needed a place to have a community space to bond and connect. And we're really happy to provide that.
Okay, wonderful. And so what makes Helm unique?
So we are a coffee roaster that focuses on filter coffee first and foremost.
Okay.
So that would be hand pours or filter like a machine drip.
Okay.
We don't have an espresso machine here.
Okay.
We build espresso concentrate and can make mm-hmm. espresso-based drinks, but it's uh-huh. not going to be like a traditional experience that you might get from another coffee shop.
Okay.
And for us, when we started Helm, for us, Helm really meant being at the forefront of your life. When you think about Helm, it means, you know, being at the like the captain of the ship, mm-hmm. right? For us, it means, hey, how do we empower people to be authentic, to be mm-hmm. curious, to be passionate, to follow their dreams? And we wanted to create a space to inspire others and mm-hmm. help people get there.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So then, I guess, how did you make the connection with focusing on filtered coffee? Was that a artistic choice, a business choice? Mm-hmm. A little bit of both, like your own taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
we roast specialty coffee,
okay.
and we push towards the higher end of coffees. And so our green coffee cost generally ranges from $7 to $100 per pound.
Okay.
So we want to be able to bring in some really high end coffees, make it approachable to the public, and get them excited about the coffee. So
yeah.
the coffees that you'll be having today mm-hmm. Are gonna be what showcase the terroir of the coffee, like what's inherently the flavor profile
okay.
in the coffee.
What word did you say? Sorry.
The terroir.
Okay,
yeah.
You're gonna have to tell me how to spell that.
Yeah, T,
if you don't know,
E-R-R, Justin? Terroir, how do you spell terroir?
I-O-R,
yeah.
All right, this is a word I've never heard before. So please,
yes.
And I
so
love learning
that's
new
what
words,
we
so
wanted to really highlight is the.
And what is that?
It's what's inherently the, I guess, the profile of the coffee. So based
okay.
on region, based on altitude, based on processing.
So would it be comparable
species.
To like the word vintage with wine? Is it meaning like both type of grape and region it's
yeah.
from?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But it's just harder to pronounce.
Yes, it's because of the R's.
Okay.
Dang it.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
Okay, so you feel that doing...
Not terrier,
and doing so drip and hand pour allows you to both have very specialty coffees, but then also, I guess, like affordably offer it and give the taste profile to people
yes.
in a way that they can approach easier.
Exactly.
Am
like coffee
right?
is more than just what you've had in the past.
Yeah.
Coffee can
okay.
be nuanced, it can be floral, it can be delicate,
mm-hmm.
it can change from hot to cool,
mm-hmm.
and we want you to be able to experience that.
Okay. Okay, fantastic. And so how did you get into this game?
So I fell in love with coffee while I was playing rugby professionally.
Okay.
And I traveled the world playing rugby competitively, and
okay, that's fantastic.
Instead
okay.
of going to normal tourism shops, I would
uh-huh.
Or tourism places, I would go to coffee roasteries and coffee shops.
Okay.
And people watch.
Okay.
And that's kind of when I got into it.
Wait, so, okay. You didn't, sorry, I'm glancing at our producer here. You didn't tell us that we had a rugby star. So, okay, where did you play rugby?
I played rugby for...
kind of everywhere? Is there a rugby team?
Team USA, yeah.
Team USA, okay. Is there, so, and then how did you end up in Indianapolis then?
My wife got a job here,
okay.
But I
Fantastic.
Retired after the 2016 Olympics.
Okay, so you played in the Olympics?
Yes.
Wow, that's fantastic. How was the coffee there?
Brazil has some pretty good coffee.
Oh, that's right, that one was in Brazil. Okay, yeah,
so yeah.
I've had coffee in Brazil, it's pretty good. You have to go out and find good coffee shops,
because a lot of our good coffee is exported, but they've got great coffee in Brazil.
Yeah, okay. Do you miss playing rugby?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's no, like, you know, I definitely miss hitting people full steam.
Well, it's not like a sport. Because, you know, a lot of sports you can sort of, as we grow older, there's like a slightly different version you can keep playing. Like,
sure.
You can go from baseball to softball, or like basketball to like a pickup basketball game, or horse, whatever, or like tennis to pickleball, right?
Right.
But I don't think there's a rugby like to something else, is there?
There's touch. There's touch rugby.
There is touch rugby. Okay, does that scratch the itch?
No.
Okay.
No. But you have to be incredibly fit to play touch.
Okay.
There's not really a touch league, pardon me, touch league here in Indy.
Okay.
I guess you could always...
You can start one here at Helm, yeah?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have time.
Okay, I understand.
I have a full-time job, and I have this, and two kids, and two dogs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. All right, that's fun. I didn't think we were going to talk about rugby. I have more questions about that, but we're here to talk about Helm, so let's do that first. You know what? Normally, we wait a little longer, but I need the coffee now. So let's go ahead and do the first pairing. How about that? And we'll kind of keep talking as we do it. So we're going to try three coffees today. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So what's the first one we're doing?
The Colombian Sidra.
Colombian what, sorry?
Sidra, S-I-D-R-A.
Okay.
It's a varietal.
Okay.
And it's definitely getting back in the limelight. And it's a very unique coffee.
Okay.
The flavor notes that you'll be experiencing today would be Concord grape, nectarine, lime.
Okay.
Pineapple.
Okay. Wow, okay. So I'm going to have to, as we're sipping this, I'm going to have to come up with some music to listen to.
Oh, yes. It's very dynamic. It's a dynamic cup for
dynamic.
Sure.
Yeah, that's helpful. And that's the thing I need. I need, like, adjectives. I'm going to write that one down, dynamic. We'll come back to that one in a sec. Okay, so you would just, so what you just told me, is that the terroir?
The terroir is, it would be the, so the Sidra is the varietal, and
okay.
The terroir would be the flavor notes, like what's
okay.
inherently
okay.
In the coffee bean. Now, the way that you roast it and the way that you brew it, can offer different flavor notes.
Oh,
and
interesting.
That's what we try to find is like, what's the best showcase of this coffee?
Perfect.
So deliver that.
So the terroir is pre-making of it.
Yeah, it's how it's grown. I mean, based on region elevation,
okay.
just like wine, like you were saying.
Yeah, okay.
It's
okay,
what's inherent in the coffee bean.
Yeah,
we don't do
okay.
anything to it. It's just
yeah,
that
okay.
good.
Okay, and you said this is from Colombia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, well, let's go in here.
We'll have two Colombians take this one.
Okay, thank you. I'm just enjoying the smell for a second. I'm sorry. Nothing makes for a better podcast than listening to people smell.
Oh, yes.
But
then hold
sorry,
it.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Hold it in your mouth. Let it coat your palate so you can really feel the juiciness of the coffee.
I'm definitely getting a lot of the lime and grape, I think. I'm gonna. Mm-hmm. Okay, you said pineapple. I think I wrote down nectarine.
Yep. You did?
I am already feeling slightly more awake. That's fun. So these sorts of fruit-forward coffees, right, are pretty different than what someone might get from like a, I don't know, some sort of ridiculous vanilla thing at Starbucks or whatever,
sure.
right? So how do you... kind of like someone's new to this world, how do you explain what's going on to them? Does that make sense? Like when this doesn't taste like a coffee you would get at a gas station or a Starbucks or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you get them to kind of open up to the fruitiness of it? As opposed to, I think we tend to think more the like chocolatey side of,
sure.
of coffee, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, what would you tell? Does that question make sense?
No, it does. I think for people that are first-time customers to Helm and they say, hey, what are you known for? And
mm-hmm.
I say, we're known for our hand pours. We're known mm-hmm. for our specialty coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just outright say it's different than any experience that you've had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can have something that's jammy and very funky, fruit-forward. We can find something that's a little bit more chocolatey and comforting. And then we've got something like the Cidre, which is very complex. Takes a little bit of being able to get those notes, like you have to know, right, a little bit. But we want to create profiles that are easy. If we say nectarine, we want you to taste nectarine. If we say lavender, chocolate, whatever those flavor notes are, we want the everyday person to be able to experience them. So that it is more approachable. So you're like, oh my God, this is, wow, I never knew that coffee could taste like this.
It's like the back of my mouth is like tingling in a very fun way.
It's very juicy.
That, that like I would not normally get in like a French roast or whatever. I don't know a whole lot about coffee, I'm sorry, but.
Well, French roast is incredibly dark.
Okay.
And thank you so much.
Oh, there's the bag. Okay, so people can get bags of the coffee here. That was going to be a question in a minute, right? People can come in and get a cup and various bags. Okay, fantastic. All right. So now I need to think of some music. You said dynamic. What are some other adjectives you would use to describe this?
Complex.
Okay.
Smooth.
Okay.
Like, the mouthfeel is very silky.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. No, and it's still, maybe because my, I'm usually still asleep right now, but so my mouth is very confused what's happening. But it is crazy, that like, what's going on? I don't know.
On the back end.
Yeah,
it's
not.
It's a citrus.
Yeah, it's this, okay, yeah, it's not unpleasant at all.
So
it's
that like
nice,
white grape, the nectarine, like it's.
I just am not, I don't think I've ever like, had that with coffee before.
It's Riesling. Kind of
yes.
Like,
yeah.
Light wine.
Yeah. Now you're talking my language. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I knew you were a wine guy, I would have different pairings for you. But this is you know really nice. It has a white wine finish. Like it's there.
Yeah.
That Riesling.
Okay. Yeah. I can get that, and I do love a Riesling. Yeah. That's interesting to think about it that way.
Wine and coffee are very similar.
Mm-hmm. Like in the way that the. Like the growing happens, you mean, or just
oh,
sort of
just
the...
like the complexity of it, the aromas, the flavor profile. Mm-hmm. You talk about body in wine, the finish in wine, things like that. If it's lasting or short or long, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess
I act like I'm talking about wine. I don't know anything about
that's
wine.
That's fine. You know?
I know.
I don't know much. I know that I like it.
Same.
And I know
that
a few types I like.
Yes.
I'm right with you. Okay, this is. I'm trying to think of some music now. This is going to be a. Can I get? How quickly will this get the hamster inside of my head running so that my brain works, so that I can come up with some music. That goes with this. I like, because it's an interesting combination, right? You said dynamic but silky, complex but smooth.
Yes.
Right, so it needs to be a fairly rich piece of music that is, that's not just one thing, right? It can't just be like a simple piano sonata. I mean, it could be a piano sonata, but it can't be like a Mozart piano sonata or something that's like kind of similar the whole way through. It needs to be probably something more modern than that. I'm thinking something minimalist. So people sometimes wonder if I prep in advance. I don't. So I'm just sort of making this up. But the real question is, can I like remember the names of pieces? That's ultimately what this comes down to. I feel like I might be cheating because I think I've done this one before. But it's what comes to my head when I drink coffee in the morning. And I just rode here in my Vespa, so I'm going to do Short Ride in a Fast Machine by John Adams. So we're going to listen to, okay, so this is an American composer. This piece, I think, came out in the 80s or 90s. And so it's very sort of energetic. It hits a lot, but it's also quite easy to listen to. And it's supposed to represent, so it's called Short Ride in a Fast Machine.
Yeah.
It's supposed to sort of represent that, like, so if you hear it in a concert hall, like, you're moving somewhere very quickly. And so I think it's going to maybe work with this, and at the very least, it's going to help me wake up.
Done.
So let's go ahead and give Short Ride in a Fast Machine a listen. Thank you. All right, we've been listening to Short Ride and Fast Machine by John Adams. All right, what do you think, Jillian? Does this match the coffee somewhat?
I do. I think okay. It really does. I really like how it changes around a minute 50 into something mm-hmm. that's completely different. And mm-hmm. I think you've got that, you know, drum beat that's mm-hmm. consistent throughout the piece, which is kind of the undertone and the bass of the coffee.
Okay. Good.
And then the higher notes and the way it fluctuates throughout the piece that we listen to, that can represent those flavor notes
mm-hmm.
that change
okay.
over from yeah. hot to cool.
So what I wrote is attention-grabbing and bright, which I think this coffee is.
Very.
Lively. It's cinematic. Would you call this cinematic? Is this cinematic coffee?
Ooh, I never have described coffee that way, but I
cinematic.
Do like
okay.
it. Yeah.
As
yeah
in
and
like,
that musical
like
piece
it tells
does
a,
kind of...
It tells a story.
Sure.
That kind of grabs, you know, cinematic sort of grabs a couple of your senses, right?
Totally.
So this was like with smell and taste and... With sight as well, I mean, like, depending on how you're looking at it. But, okay, I don't know if it captured the smooth and silky. I don't
That's
think
okay.
I got that.
That's all right.
So I think I got, like 3 out of 5. I guess maybe smooth and silky are the same, so maybe I'll say I got 3 out of 4. That sounds better.
Yes, it does. It does.
So.
And you said something that I think is uh-huh. important to notice. It tells a story. And mm-hmm. from producer, from farmer to producer, to how it's processed, to how it gets to us, like mm-hmm. that's a story too.
Yeah.
And we are building relationships with farmers and producers to say, hey, like, what are you most excited about? What coffee do you want to showcase that you're proud yeah. of and bring that coffee in?
Okay.
So that is also part of our model that we're building into it, is mm-hmm. that relationship with the farmer,
yeah.
Bringing in the coffee that they believe is their best coffee,
mm-hmm.
and then for us to highlight that and do that coffee justice.
Mm-hmm.
There is a story there for many people. In
yeah.
Coffees.
So is that primarily how you pick new beans that you want to try out? Or
yeah.
New roast? What's the word I should be using?
No,
here?
Exactly. Roast.
Roast.
Yeah, roast
okay.
and brew.
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that like, talk to me a little bit about the creative process a little bit, about how you're deciding what gets to be a Helm coffee.
So it's a bit of a process. We have some reliable importers that we talk to that have built relationships on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to aim to go to Colombia to meet a couple producers
oh,
this
okay.
year
That's wonderful.
In person.
Mm-hmm.
But to really begin saying, hey, like, when did you start this relationship with mm-hmm. so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been? What are their pain points? What are their growing areas?
Mm-hmm.
And learning a little bit about the coffee. And if they recommend something to us, then we'll bring it in and we'll
mm-hmm.
sample roast it, which
mm-hmm.
means roasting a small batch of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day or the next few days, we'll cup it. And so we'll evaluate the coffee
mm-hmm.
based on sweetness, acidity, flavor profile, body. There's a lot of different characteristics
mm-hmm.
you can kind of evaluate and then say, hey, can we bring this in?
Yeah.
Does it make sense in our lineup? What do we have now? Where are we going? What coffees are coming in?
Yeah.
Because coffee is seasonal.
Okay.
So even though we are able to, as a consumer, get Ethiopians year round, there is
yeah.
a season for harvesting.
Okay.
And same for Colombia, Guatemala, mm-hmm. any coffee region, there is the season.
Yeah.
And
okay.
so we try to mirror the seasons
yeah.
so that
okay.
our coffee is as fresh as possible. And that really kind of showcases again the terroir of the coffee.
Interesting. Okay. So your menu changes a little bit
yeah.
during time and will continue to as the seasons change.
Yeah.
Is there like, certain, like, when's Colombian season? Or, like, when...
Good question, yeah.
Is there, like, are fruity coffees are always in harvest in spring or something like that? I don't...
Yeah, Ethiopians, Colombians, and I'd have to look this up because
uh-huh.
it's not ingrained in my memory
yeah,
as it
I
should be.
That.
But, yes, there are some coffees that you can expect to land.
Mm-hmm.
And I say land by getting to the States,
yeah.
but their harvested months before
okay.
they get to the States,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
Usually it's transported by sea, sometimes
okay.
by plane,
yeah.
but mostly by sea.
Okay. All right.
You're
I
like,
see
man, I didn't know that I was going to learn all about this.
Yeah. All right. We have another coffee here in front of us.
This is the Guzman, the Colombia Guzman.
Okay. So this is another Colombia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I love Colombian coffees. So we will probably have more Colombian coffees than
mm-hmm.
most.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I love Ethiopia, but Colombia is
mm-hmm.
probably
okay.
my favorite region.
Okay, yeah. All right, talk to me a little about the Guzman.
So this is a cold, natural, fermented coffee. And that's just
cold,
another...
Cold, natural, fermented.
Yes.
Okay.
And that talks about the process, how the coffee was, transformed once it was picked.
Okay.
So basically the cold fermentation is about the temperature it was fermented at. Natural means that it was laid out on drying beds after to get complete drying.
Are all coffees fermented?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
There's, I guess the classic ones are washed, which the cherry that holds the coffee bean is then washed off the bean, and that creates very clean, high clarity coffees.
And that's the first one we had was that?
The first one that you had
the Columbia,
was
the other...
an anaerobic, I think.
Okay.
Justin,
okay.
Was it an anaerobic Sidra or was it, it was anaerobic.
Okay.
It was washed anaerobic, but
So how do they, what's the fermenting? I'm sorry that I might mess up.
No, it's okay. No, so fermentation can... Do you want to jump in on this? Come talk about the cold fermentation. Everyone, this is Justin. He is our team lead. And...
has been behind the scenes making all these coffees. You'll just need to, like, grab a mic real quick, or you can grab this one.
I mean, I can just talk into it like this. That's fine.
That should probably work,
Okay. As long as you can hear me, that'll be okay. What are we at? What was the
question? Asking about fermentation, anaerobic, cold fermentation, things like that, processing.
The idea
versus like washing.
Versus washing. So wash process is where you inherently just take off the outer layer of the cherry. So typically there's some level of fermentation across the board with every process that just helps to accentuate kind of the good qualities and the good flavors in the coffee. Outside of that, the things that tend to happen are, wash process is basically the cherries are held in tanks and then they go through a depulping mechanism where it takes off the outside cherry itself, which can then be reused in the form of drying it out and turning it into something called cascara, which can be turned into a tea, it's a really lovely, nice kind of byproduct.
Yeah.
Then from there, there's a mucilage layer in between the outside cherry and the coffee bean itself.
Okay.
That's what the wash processing removes.
Okay.
It creates a really clean, in terms of how it translates to the cup, it creates a really clean cup.
Okay.
And usually you get very clear delineated flavor notes beyond that. The things that modern processing is doing, things like anaerobic processing, carbonic maceration, in this case, cold fermentation is just a kind of adapted method of doing one of these longer fermentation processes.
Okay.
All they're looking for is they're looking to for specific fermentation elements to develop. In the case of carbonic, you are injecting it with, you're injecting the tanks with either nitrous oxide or carbon dioxide, or sorry, nitrous oxide or one of the other ones to pull out carbon dioxide and create a very specific bacteria growth in that environment, kind of like winemaking or yeast fermentation in beer making, all of that.
Okay.
The same thoughts are now being applied to the world of coffee.
Interesting.
And people, in this case, the farmer, his name is Frank Torres. He's the one who the Sidra is from. It's from his farm. And then in the case of the coffee that you were drinking now, Elkin Guzman, he's also kind of a master of modern processing. And he's developed this technique of cold fermentation, which, if I am correct, is a kind of blanching technique in a way where you take the coffee and then either ferment it at a much lower temperature or you drop the temperature really rapidly, which crystallizes the sugars, which leads to more interesting and more complex flavor profiles.
That's fantastic.
That's
thank
why I
you so much.
Around.
I think you had a customer you got to run to, but all right, thank you. Okay, so this one, give me some tasting notes on this one. I'll tell you, it's very different than the other one.
Yes.
You were not lying about that.
You still get that citrus, though, that navel orange there.
It's not as sweet as
the nectarine or the Sidra.
Yeah.
And then the grape preserve is there as well, so that's kind of that undertone sweetness. Mm-hmm. And then you get kind of a tea-like finish, so it's not as lasting as the Sidra was, but it's still there, pleasantly drying, you know?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Just a little bit, you can kind of feel it on the back end.
It, when you say tea-like, it is maybe with the orange, I guess it's a little Earl Grey-like.
It is, exactly. Earl Grey.
Does it say that on
there?
Yes. Oh, so, okay, nice.
Nailed it, man, good job.
Right.
Look at you.
Perfect, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With bergamot, exactly, yeah, okay. Which is really quite delightful, because I love Earl Grey. When I do drink tea, that tends to be what I drink.
This one is probably my favorite right now. I just love mm-hmm. how simple it is. Mm-hmm. It's navel orange, grape, Earl Grey. Yeah. There's not, it's this kind of flavor profile from hot to cool. It's lasting. Mm-hmm. It stays okay, throughout the cup. And so I think this is probably a piece that doesn't have to have so much complexity.
Yeah,
in the music,
Right? So I've got smooth, lasting, elegant.
Elegant.
Do you like that? Okay. Maybe that was, I'm just thinking of little teacups, but I do really think that someone who's a tea drinker, not a coffee drinker, would like this. Mm-hmm. This could be. This is a transition to go the way I think. Anything else? Let me think. I need one more adjective here. You said consistent, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of stays the same as the temperature changes. It's so interesting, like, if you just pay attention to what your mouth is experiencing. Because the first one was so much action in the back. This one I'm feeling a lot more at the very front of my
same.
Mouth, like on the tip of my tongue, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot more going on. What was that from? I don't understand how... I'm expecting you to be an expert in literally everything. I'm sorry. I'm just curious, like what the tip of the tongue. I don't know my taste bud very well. I mean, it must have to do with the tea-like quality of it, because I'm still getting like the orange in the back. But anyway, people should just come in and try both of them themselves, and then someone can tell me, can message me and tell me that I need to learn more about tongues. But they didn't teach me that in grad school for music. We didn't. Well, I guess
it depends on what instrument
you
play.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't play saxophone, but I didn't pay much attention. So. Okay. Hmm. Okay, so I'm going to do something more romantic.
Ooh, I think. This could be a very romantic coffee.
Right? It feels... I do think this one would be a good...
Because it's still elevated, right? It's something that you can, you know, have a date with.
Yeah, I feel like this would be a good kind of late night like coffee. Like
sure.
you're after you've had a meal that's a little too big, and you're on a date, and they come by with a little coffee. And I think that this so it's a good like calming, whereas I think the other one was a little more invigorating.
Sure.
Right.
Yep. That's a great call out.
All right. So I think I want to do Caro Mio Ben. This is a piece that I'm actually having to look it up because people don't really know who wrote it. Some people used to say the famous composer Handel. Some people have said Giordani. Somebody now says Tommaso Giordani, as opposed to a different Giordani, sorry. But in any case, for our purposes, none of that really matters. It's beautiful. That's all that matters, okay? And so it's late 1700s here. I think it matches, because we were talking about this... elegant, and I was thinking of like sipping on this at the end of a beautiful night while wearing like a suit or so I have a bow tie on, but I've untied it and it's just like hanging there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
And which you're is, outside,
exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah,
it's
and
a
like,
nice,
like on
cool
the porch,
breeze.
And then just sipping on a little bit of coffee mm-hmm. to sort of like just give you the edge that you need for the next hour or two, and to kind of recover from the meal. Let's go ahead and listen to Caro Mio Ben.
Say
All right, what do you think? Carmio Ben, does it match well?
Oh, it's perfect.
Oh,
it's
good.
Stunning.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a wonderful song or piece. I think I really like the tone, the voice, the singing, and then mm-hmm. the gentle. It's like very gentle.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and then the nice piano notes coming through. It just mm-hmm. it is a whole vibe, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And I could definitely see myself there after a stellar night listening, you know, having dinner. And I mean, it was perfect.
I wrote Warm Hug on a Chilly Night, which I think is kind of what this coffee is as well, right? I think that I wrote, it's a slow exhale, delightful and contemplative, which I think that all kind of works. I think this one matches even better.
Yes, this is definitely the one.
I think mm-hmm. I'm a little more proud of this one. So listeners, come to Helm, bring some headphones and listen to this while you order this coffee.
100%, that's the one.
I am proud of that one. All right, we have a third and final coffee.
Yes,
where are we going now?
This is Costa Rican.
Okay.
It is a much more tropical coffee than the other two. So you'll get guava, lemon, wildflower, honey.
Where did you say this from, sorry?
This is from Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, okay.
And this is very light-bodied, very delicate.
Tropical, light-bodied. You said guava. That's exciting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Myra lemon is kind of that sweetness. You'll still get that citrus bite in the back of your tongue. But it'll be coating like that of a wildflower honey.
So, sorry, I'm cleansing my palate with some water real quick.
No good idea.
Just to change. But before I take some, what's your opinion on milk and sugar? Or like cream and sugar? Do
I do that?
Yeah.
You know, probably once a year.
Really?
Once a year, I'll probably get my French press out, a nice dark roast, some heavy cream.
Okay, yeah.
And some sugar.
Okay.
It's very dessert-like to me.
Yeah, okay.
And I think every once in a while I crave that, but for the most part, I really like, I just drink black coffee.
Mm-hmm. And so customers here, I'm assuming you're... If they want cream and sugar, you're okay with that, I would assume. That's what people like.
Yeah,
absolutely. Do you ever steer people away, or not away, but like towards trying it by itself first?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. I'm like, hey, do me a favor, just give it a drink before you add milk.
Yeah, because I think if most, you know, have only had Folgers drip or whatever, like, the people like cream and sugar because then it tastes like something.
Totally.
Right, as opposed to, I don't know, burnt tire.
Well, my wife, Carol, she... puts cream in her coffee every mm-hmm. morning. Mm-hmm. But she has now grown to love Geisha's, which is a higher-end coffee.
Okay.
And once you add the milk, the flavor profile can change again, you know?
Yeah.
And so there is a place to add milk. I think I would just encourage the consumer to try the coffee black to really experience the nuances of the coffee.
Yeah.
And then take a mental note. How did that change when you added milk? Do you like it or not?
Yeah.
You know, and if you like it, like, awesome. Like, keep adding milk, you know, do you? I think that's where, you know, it's your own experience. We want to guide you and present coffee that's that we find to be exciting and beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we want it to be exactly what you want it to. So.
That's good.
Yeah, I meet them halfway, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, like, people can be intimidated sometimes with like, you know, a hip coffee shop with fancy coffee and they don't know much about it. In the same way that you might be intimidated by like a swanky cocktail bar and you don't know what to order because, you know, you don't know the names of cocktails or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then in my world, people get super intimidated by classical music because, you know, for a variety of reasons, that this would go on for another hour if I started listing them all. But in general, there's all these conventions about the way you're supposed to dress and act and all these sorts of things.
Sure,
like at a life, and the people you're supposed to know. But if you don't, there's something wrong with you.
Oh, I don't like that.
But you know, I do think sometimes, I do feel sort of there's a nice welcoming vibe here that I think that you would. My hunch is you would sort of guide people, right?
100%.
If they came in like they don't really know what they like because they haven't had this type of coffee before.
We have two crowd pleasers, too. I mean, we have two blends, one's on the darker side, one's a medium light roast that is very approachable, very easy drinking, and still will knock your socks off.
Nice,
you know?
Nice. So this one, I'm interested, this one's hitting the middle of my tongue. I know everybody's very interested about
so
how my tongue is doing.
I'm so glad that we've got your entire tongue involved, yes.
I wish, I guess that's the guava flavor? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's just probably the way that different acids you know, you experience flavors differently. Do you get the guava?
I do. Yeah, yeah, I do. And it, in some ways, maybe it's because just literally the bit on my tongue. It does taste like it's sort of between the two of these. Like, in terms of assertiveness. Does that make sense? Like, the first one was very, like, bam.
Right.
Maybe it's because it was the first one I drank.
No, then, it was. It
and then
was.
The second one was a little more, like, elegant with the, like, yes. the music we listened to. And this one's kind of a nice middle road, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because of the tropical note. Because the citrus will get you.
Yeah, okay. All right, do you have any other tasting notes for me to think about here?
Besides the lemon, guava.
Lemon, yeah. What are some, like, adjectives that would maybe point to some music?
Bright.
Okay.
Well, it's not that bright.
It's like, yeah, it's like mid bright.
It's like mid bright. yeah.
There's probably a word for that.
Yeah,
that,
like, it's like sunrise, you know?
Ooh,
like,
okay, I like that. Sunrise. That's good.
It's not at the height of the heat. It's not too in your face, but it's there. You see it. The sun's
rising. Yeah, okay. Good.
It's light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say, to come back to our discussion from earlier, like, I tend to do the same thing. I do a French roast with a little bit of cream and sugar most mornings. These three, like, I don't need it. I mean, I think that's just largely, that's what I have in my house.
Sure.
And that it, these, I think maybe it's because you're, just the bitterness is pretty tamped down with all of these, right?
Yeah.
In a way that I quite like. Some coffee gets too bitter for me. I know some people really like a very bitter coffee. I tend to not, but, okay, I would say approachable.
It is. For someone that's never had, like, a tropical coffee, I think people will look at this and say, oh, guava and lemon, like, that doesn't sound like coffee to me. But it is. I mean, it's a wonderful cup of coffee, and it just gives you those nuances in a way that's gentle and...
Gentle's good. I like that. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's gentle, but, like, gently... forceful. Does that make sense?
Yes. Like, there's without a doubt that is guava and lemon, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's there.
Like, it's not passive, is what I mean
by
that. Okay, man, it's early for me. The thought I just had is it's like Andre the Giant. Like in The Princess Bride.
Ooh.
like, I don't know if you remember his character at all. But he was very, the gentle giant, right? But if he needed to be forceful, he could.
Sure.
This isn't getting anywhere.
I love it, though. I feel like that could be very interesting. Yeah, this, like, Princess Bride in the bag, you know?
Yeah.
But all I think about Princess Bride is that big rat and quicksand.
Oh, okay,
like,
that's
that
not
is
what I'm
my...
thinking of.
That is what I remember about Princess Bride.
Okay. Okay, I think this one's going to be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to try it. Because I think it's... As we're talking about with this one, while I think it is very approachable as a coffee, it's kind of difficult to pair because it is all these things at once. And so, but I do like this sort of, like, sunrise. We had said you had just added delicate and crisp, but also approachable. And I said Andre the Giant, of course, because I'm good at my job, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to do Beethoven.
In the middle of your tongue. Don't
In the middle of my tongue, yeah. So we're going to do something from Beethoven's middle period. We're going to do, so anyway.
Love that.
The fifth string quartet, movement number one. So Beethoven's fifth string quartet, movement one. I actually don't know. I can't remember. It might be from his early period. Nobody send me angry letters. Anyway, I can't remember what year it is. So let's go ahead and listen to Beethoven's string quartet, number five, movement one. Thank you. So I think this is my biggest swing. Did I miss or did I hit something?
I think you got it. So okay. I think right away the music, it took you in. It swept you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was imagining myself on the beach, watching the sunrise, and maybe you're watching over the horizon and mm-hmm. then hasn't quite, come up yet. And then when it mm-hmm. does, that's like how the music started. It's like once you see bam.
Yeah.
And then the playful of the notes reminded me of the tropical notes mm-hmm. and how they kind of danced in my mouth from guava to mm-hmm. lemon to honey. And I thought that was kind of a nice playful piece.
I like that.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, I wrote Greeting a New Day, mm-hmm. kind of like you're describing. I also wrote, though, it's not too timid, because we had said mid-bright, because there is the turn. Basically, it's in the second theme of what's happening, it turns to more of like a minor key. So it's not all just sun. Like there's a little bit of forcefulness to it, which I think that this has. And a little bit of, or gently forceful, as I wrote earlier. And then I was sort of picturing the crazy virtuosity, like, I thought that was the lemon. I don't know if it actually is,
totally,
but why not?
You're imagining it, right?
Because
when it was hot, it definitely had more punch. And then as it cooled, it became more gentle. And it was still there, though, still mm-hmm. present, but not so much in your face.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, this has been a lot of fun. And I am, when we started this, I was like, I hope I wake up during the episode. This has definitely helped. I do feel like I have finally woken up a little bit, which is good. I still might go to bed after this. We'll see. But I've had a really nice time here at Helm. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
So the three that we've tried here, are these typically on the menu? But you said that the menu sometimes changes seasonally, so people can just come in and ask for what you've got lately?
I would say these will probably be on for the next month or so.
Uh-huh.
But once we're out, we're out.
Okay.
And then we'll get another exciting lot, whether it be Colombian, Ethiopian, or something else to showcase.
Okay.
But the Sidra, the Guzman, those are very limited.
Okay.
So I would definitely come in if you're loving that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Classical Pairings is a listener-supported podcast. Please support us by texting the word PAIR, P-A-I-R, to 202-858-1233 to help us keep bringing you the best craft food and beverage makers paired with classical music. Classical Pairings is a production of Classical Music Indie, and our producer is Daniel Porter. I hope you'll join me for Classical Pairings Live, an event series presented by the National Bank of Indianapolis. Beginning in August, each Classical Pairings Live is hosted by a local food and beverage partner, where you'll sample great food and beverage paired with live music by talented local artists. You can find out more about our next Classical Pairings Live event at classicalmusicindie.org. Cheers, and I'll see you next time. Thank you.